Hour number two, Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Hope you're having a wonderful Thursday. Let's head back to the phones. Say hello to Terry McCormick. TitanInsider.com has covered the team since day one. Terry, we're finally back. Football season is here. How you doing?
I'm doing well, doing well. Yesterday was the start of it, as you mentioned, and this is season 27 for me covering the Titans.
Well, and going into season 27, I think there are a lot of questions. There's a lot of intrigue. I use the word excitement just because of the unknown with everything going on with the Titans. But I want to start with Ryan Tannehill. As he goes into the final year of his contract, I have this feeling that there, you know, it's not a foregone conclusion that he's not going to be here next year, that he could definitely be back. What percentage would you put on Ryan Tannehill being back as the Titans starting quarterback next season, and what needs to happen this year with them for that to come to fruition?
Well, I don't know about a percentage. I mean, I'd say probably 50-50 at best, because each of the last 2 years they've tried to draft his replacement. But I'll say this, you know, in plain language, I think in doing that and in not giving him a contract extension right now, it may have pissed him off and may bring out the best in him. You know what I'm saying?
Because, yeah, 100%. I mean, I think there's a ton of guys with that chip on, you know, pissed off for greatness chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, I think Derrick Henry's probably in that camp too. And I think if Ryan Tannehill leads this team to an AFC South title and they win a playoff game, if he has a good year, I mean, what do you do with him if he throws for 3,500 yards and 27 touchdowns? If he plays like he did in 2020 or 2021, what do you do with him? I mean,
right. And that, I don't think they know that answer.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to hand it over to Will Levis or even Malik Willis, because we don't know what Will Levis is yet. And what we saw of Malik Willis last year was not very impressive. So, you know, they're in a situation right now where Ryan Tannehill is their best option. And if he has a good year, if he shows he's still got a lot of football left in him, then they may have to do something like apply the franchise tag to him and say, let's go one more year.
Terry McCormick is with us. DeAndre Hopkins, we saw him yesterday on the practice field. Now, he'll miss a couple days for something that he already had in place before he signed with the team. But he looked like a guy that was just – I mean, there's a reason he's one of the best receivers in the league, and there's a reason that the Titans wanted to bring him into their receiver room. How quickly do you think that he and Tannehill can get on the same page, and could we see a connection similar to what Tannehill had with A.J. Brown a few years ago?
Yeah, I think that's possible. I mean, obviously, if they had had time during OTAs and things like that, it would have been easier. But they're both veteran guys, and they're both guys who, you know how the thing works. Hopkins has been in a version of this offense under Tim Kelly before, so it's not like he's having to learn a whole lot of new terminology and things of that nature. It's just a matter of getting down the nuances of what Ryan Tannehill wants and Ryan Tannehill learning, you know, how he does things. And that's what training camp is going to be for, and that's what those joint practices are going to be for. I honestly don't think you're going to see either one of those guys on the field much for preseason games, but those joint practices with the Vikings and the Patriots are going to be very valuable to get those two on the same page and get that rapport going.
When you look at the wide receiver room as a whole, you know, I think we all expect Treylon Burks to take a big jump from year one to year two. He's looked good in OTAs and, you know, obviously one day of training camp. But I'm curious of the guys behind him. You know, can Kyle Phillips be the three and be a productive wide receiver? You know, what are they going to get out of Chris Moore, who they brought in? Is there more to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine? This whole receiver battle, and now with D-Hop signing, it's put guys in their correct positions. I'm very intrigued to see, Terry, you know, just the battles with position, you know, wide receiver three on as they go through training camp.
Yeah, that is going to be interesting because I think we all can agree that in some order, Hopkins and Burks are one and two. So three through six is going to be the pecking order. And you've got several guys that are contenders for that. You mentioned Kyle Phillips. Nick Westbrook Akina has been around. He can now go back to being a fourth receiver and being a special teams mainstay, which was what he thrived at a couple of years ago. The wild card in this to me are Phillips and Racy McMath, because Racy McMath has all the physical skills you could ever want, but it has yet to translate very much on the field because, A, he's been hurt, and, B, he's not been a very polished receiver. So I think Racy McMath has to show them that he can contribute something more than special teams in order to lock down a roster spot. But I am interested in Phillips as well to see, because he was on a good path after the first week or two of the season. Then he got hurt and just kind of halted everything. So I'm interested to see if he can pick up where he left off and if he can be a little bit more durable. He's put off about 15 pounds, but you know, he's still not very big in terms of the types of receivers that they usually have with the Titans.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com, is with us. What did you make of Kevin Byard's comments and Rand Carthon's comments yesterday about the whole restructuring of the contract, basically taking a pay cut, and how they got to that point?
Yeah, I think they kind of buried the hatchet, it sounds like. I think when you talk about Byard, I mean, you're talking about a guy that is a consummate pro. You're talking about a guy that, you know, has put his heart and soul into this organization, and you know, he'll have a chance to make the money back if he's on the roster next year, and I fully expect him to be on the roster. And I think that now he and Rand Carthon can move forward, because I think before, when they wanted him to do it, and I'm not trying to speak for Kevin Byard here, but I think before, when they kind of just came out of the blue and said, hey, will you take a pay cut? He's like, why should I? I'm playing great. Well, it's different when you're saying, hey, take a pay cut. You know, it's like, tell me what you're going to do with it. Well, now they're saying, well, we're going to go sign DeAndre Hopkins with this money. He's much more open to things, I believe, when he sees what the end result can be of moving this money and taking less so that they can bring in another quality player. Before, it was just like, okay, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to go, you know, are you getting this guy? Are you getting that guy? What are you doing? You know, there was really nothing on the horizon at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. We saw Harold Landry on the field yesterday, which I kind of put as a little bit of a surprise. I wasn't really expecting that. But he was out there and continues to rehab from the knee. How much production are you expecting out of Landry? Do you think we're going to see the double-digit sack guy that we saw 2 years ago, or is this still going to be a process with the knee?
Well, I think it's going to be a process. I mean, anytime a guy comes off an ACL, and a lot of times it depends on what position he plays. You know, it affects a pass rusher differently than it affects a wide receiver or a running back or something like that, or an offensive lineman. But I think anytime that a guy is coming off a knee injury, it takes him just a little bit of time to kind of get used to it and trust it again. I think that's the biggest deal. I think you'll see Harold Landry's productivity probably get better as the season goes along once he gets a little bit more comfortable on that knee and able to do more things.
Our midday show had a chance to talk to Arden Key yesterday, and I got to tell you, I love his energy that he's going to bring to this team. Could that go down as one of the sneakiest, maybe best signings by a team in the free agency period this year?
I think it has that potential. I think I heard somebody bring it up yesterday. You know, Arden Key has a chance to be the player that they had hoped Bud Dupree would be, and certainly at a lot less money, because you need somebody on both sides. You can't just have one guy be the guy who is, you know, your primary pass rusher. You need two, preferably three or four. They've got Simmons and they got Autry, who can play down low and do those sorts of things, and Autry can slide outside. But then you've also you need a couple of edge guys, and I think Arden Key is a guy that can really come in and help this team and fill a role that Bud Dupree was unable to do for the most part because of injuries.
Well, it's one practice. We will see what other storylines unfold as we go along. Terry, always appreciate the conversations, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Chase.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. Give him a follow on Twitter at TerryMC13. As he mentioned, year 27 covering the team. And it's hard to believe that they've been around as long as they have. I guess this is the 25th year of the Titans. Time has flown by. That is for sure when it comes to that. I do feel good about the D-Hop and Tannehill connection, and I will tell you why. Coming up next here on the Chase McCabe Show, hey, this week's Nashville best deal is Joyland in East Nashville. Joyland burgers will melt in your mouth. They will, absolutely. The fries are crispy, goodness, and the milkshakes are sure to satisfy any sweet tooth. Get half off a $30 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Been telling you about PhD weight loss for a while now. MyPhDWeightLoss.com is the website. It's a program designed by Dr. Ashley Lucas. She's a best-selling author and has put a lot of time and energy into this. And the best part about it is the program is developed for you, for the individual. My program is going to be different than your program because we all have different weight goals and our bodies are all different. Men average about 3 pounds per week. But again, it depends on you and your body. Week one coaching sessions. Coach Rachel has been awesome as she's worked with me and worked and adjusted things as we've gone along and also been there for moral support, which is very important. They have customized meal plans that are made just for you. And here's the thing, 85% of the food is provided to you at no additional cost, or you can use 100% of your own foods if you choose to, and they will teach you and guide you how to do that. And here is their offer guarantee. If you don't get within 5 pounds of your target weight by the end of your program, PhD will continue to coach you for free until you do. Check that out, myphdweightloss.com. That is the website. Go there, myphdweightloss.com.
With that style of play and the way he specializes in it, does it like take a little bit more development of that trust?
Yeah, I mean, trust is a big part of playing the quarterback position. You know, whether, you know, it's a guy like D-Hop or anybody else, you know, you have to play with trust in order to make plays. And the more trust you have, ultimately, the more plays you make. So, got to start developing that trust. You know, we've already been talking through a lot of the concepts and how I see things and how we expect the routes to be run. So, it's going to be a growing process. We're going to have to put a lot of work in, a lot of time in. But excited to start that process.
Ryan Tannehill talking about DeAndre Hopkins, getting on the same page with him. Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Nick Frazier at the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. I'm pumped about this connection. You know, I asked Terry if he thought they could get to the same level that he and AJ were at. And look, they got to play the games, I mean, before we can say that. You know, now, week one, Tannehill could throw for 300-something yards, and D-Hop, you know, has over 100 yards and two touchdowns, and everybody's going to be going like, ah, here we go, Titans Super Bowl, D-Hop and Tannehill. One game, I get it. You know, one practice yesterday, I understand. Got to pump the brakes a little bit. But I think this can work. And I think that a lot of that is going to have to do with, you know, something that we've been talking about that I think both of them, and then you add Derrick Henry into the mix, are going to be a little pissed off for greatness, as Ray Lewis likes to say. Because Tannehill has 1 year left. He's seen the Titans draft quarterbacks the past 2 years. That's like, okay, trying to get my replacement. Got it. Watch this. And then you give him a stud receiver like D-Hop that, again, you know, DeAndre wants to be here. Vrabel wants players that want to be here. But I think there's probably a little bit of, kind of thought there'd be more of a market for me. Yeah, you can make the argument that Arizona kind of screwed him over and when they cut him and, you know, free agency had already happened, the draft had already happened, you know, so that kind of limited the number of teams that were out there. But he can certainly still have that mentality. That's a dangerous combination. When you got guys that I call it the chip on their shoulder mentality, that's a good, it's a good thing. It's a good problem to have. And I think Mike Vrabel knows that, and he's going to use that to his advantage. And just, you know, let these guys go out there and do their thing. But I'm excited about watching Tannehill and DeAndre Hopkins work together. This was DeAndre Hopkins the other day when he was introduced and asked about his quarterback, Ryan Tannehill.
Trey Lynn talked about you being a guy he watched growing up. How much can you show him, and have you been a teacher player in your career?
What was your visit with Ryan like in that regard when you came in, and how much are you looking forward to working with him?
Ryan came, him and his wife, they came and met me and Ryan when we were out. So that said a lot about him right there. Just wanting to come in and talk to me, hang out with me. We kicked it off right away.
That was DeAndre Hopkins on Ryan Tannehill. And I'll say this, and I don't think enough has been made of it. The fact that Tannehill and his wife, you know, went to dinner and they showed up and showed that extra effort. And I don't know if Vrabel or somebody asked him to do that, like, hey, you'll help us out here, or if he did it on his own. Either way, that's a good thing, because you're automatically showing this guy, hey, I want to play with you. I want you on my team. I want us to do this thing. And it shows that commitment. And ultimately, I think it helped get him here. And, you know, DeAndre talked about that right there, that, you know, the fact that there's a quarterback that wanted him on the team bad enough that he made the effort to meet him when he was going through the process. That right there develops, you know, camaraderie as teammates, a friendship, however you want to put it. And that is going to be big for the Tennessee Titans. And I love that. And that's why I'm excited about this connection. I'm also excited about having D-Hop there to be around these other receivers. I think that is going to be beneficial as he works with Treylon Burks and everything. Nick, if we could, the D-Hop clip on Burks and working with Burks and the other receivers, this was him the other day talking about that and working with Treylon Burks and those other wideouts.
Trey Lynn talked about you being a guy he watched growing up. How much can you show him, and have you been a teacher player in your career?
Oh, of course. I think if you guys go back and see how productive Will Fuller was when he came to Houston, and other receivers as well, Arizona, I think, the same for some of those young receivers who came there. I helped those guys out a lot, make their job easier, obviously. You know, me being who I am and defense is focusing on me, I think that helps not just myself but tight ends as well. So Treylon is a guy, obviously, I think he has a lot of potential, and I think.
That was DeAndre Hopkins talking about Treylon Burks and the other receivers, and he has. I mean, and you know, he's learned from guys working with, but I thought the Will Fuller example was an interesting one, because Will Fuller was a guy that I thought could have been so much more. He just couldn't stay healthy. But when Will Fuller was on, he was on. And that was a great combination that they had with D-Hop and Will Fuller in Houston. And so the hope is that, you know, Treylon Burks for this year, Treylon Burks and DeAndre Hopkins can have a similar combination, and they both can stay healthy. That's obviously the important part. I mean, I hate that we have to do that, like always have the preface of, you know, preface it by saying, well, if everybody stays healthy, but that's just kind of where we are with the Titans. But you get that going, you get that duo. He mentioned tight ends. I mean, think about how beneficial it's going to be for Chigakonkwo, because there's so many expectations for Chigakonkwo this year and for him to take a step forward. I'm a Titans fan, I'm excited. I'm excited about all of this. Now, the P word comes into play, potential. You know, there's a lot of potential. Potential has to be, they got to live up to that potential. But I am pumped to see this combination and then add Burks and Chig and then Derek in the backfield, Tajay Spears. and just see what this offense can look like. That's what's added to my excitement as training camp gets underway, Nick.
I'm in the same boat with you. I really do think Treylon Burks is going to have one of those type of breakout seasons. You know, everybody keeps saying the D-hop effect. And I'm one person that likes to always emphasize on investing in the youth. Because if you don't invest in the youth, then everything can't seem to kind of come full circle. And, you know, when you have guys like Racing McMath who have a lot of upside, Kyle Phillips has a lot of upside, Treylon Burks, this is the year for him to show his upside. Like, when you hear the word upside and potential, that's where you're going to have to just really connect the dots and really have to just put your foot to the gas and prove what you're worth.
I think you have a clip, too, of Treylon Burks talking about DeAndre Hopkins. Let's hear from Treylon Burks.
Being with him the couple of days that, you know, he's been here, it's been amazing. Just learning the things, how he takes care of his business, and then how he comes out here and practice. Just seeing that, you know, it's just going to do nothing but help me progress and, you know, get to that point.
Just having someone like that in the building, does that kind of motivate you to elevate your game even to another
100%.
Level?
You know, I would just say it's a man nature not to let another man be better than you, so just to go against that every day and try to, you know, beat him, he's gonna try to beat me, you know, that's just gonna make each other better.
You talk about him.
That was Treylon Burks yesterday, and think about this, the competition within, you gotta have that. Competition's everything. I mean, yeah, you want to beat the other team that you're playing, but I love that mentality. Like, heck yeah, I want to be better than him. He wants to be better than me. We're going to push each other. Titans fans should be very excited about that. I'm excited about our next guest, Trey Wingo. He's going to join us, of course, on ESPN for a long time. He's covered the NFL for a long time. We'll get his thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins being with the Tennessee Titans. We'll do that next. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It is Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, here on a Thursday. Let's head to the phones. Say hello to Trey Wingo. I haven't gotten to talk to him in a while, but appreciate him joining us. Trey, what's up? How are you?
Good, man. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. Thanks so much for doing this. So you've been around this league for a long time. You've seen some great wide receivers come through. DeAndre Hopkins, certainly one of them, and now he's a member of the Tennessee Titans. So what were your initial thoughts when you saw that D-Hop was coming to Nashville?
Well, I had sort of two separate thoughts. First of all, I hope he breaks the trend of wide receivers that go to Tennessee to die. Randy Moss, Andre Johnson, Julio Jones, and now DeAndre. So hopefully, for the Titans' sake, he will break that cycle of these wide receivers that have gone there, and it just hasn't worked out. Right? It just hasn't worked out for any of them. That was the first thought. The second thought I had was, remember the criteria he put out there, what he wanted for a new team, a quarterback committed to winning, stability in the front office, and a championship defense. Well, I think the quarterback position is really in flux in Tennessee, and it's a first-year general manager. So I'm not sure about those two, but I do think the defense for the Tennessee Titans is very good. So those are my initial thoughts.
Do you think that it says a lot, though, about Mike Vrabel and the trust that DeAndre Hopkins has in Mike Vrabel as the head coach?
I think it says a lot about Mike Vrabel's ability to sell. And, yeah, look, Mike Vrabel is, to me, he's one of the best coaches we have in the league. So, Mike is the reason the Titans have had all this, in my opinion, the reason the Titans have had all the success they've had, even though last year was not, you know, what they envisioned. So, yeah, Vrabel obviously was a huge selling point for him dating back to their days together in Houston.
Trey Wingo is with us, and you mentioned Ryan Tannehill and the quarterback position being somewhat in flux here. I mean, he's going to be the starter this year. What happens beyond that, I guess, is up to him. Do you feel like, though, that we've seen his ceiling with this team or with potentially an improved offensive line, the addition of DeAndre Hopkins, Treylon Burks taking a step forward, that maybe he could get back to that form that we saw in 2019, 2020?
Well, I mean, all those things are great, but at the end of the day, what made Ryan Tannehill better was Derrick Henry, right? I mean, like, the threat of the running game. So All those things sound fantastic, but at the end of the day, for Ryan to be as effective as he can be, the running game is going to have to be effective. And if the running game isn't effective, Ryan Tannehill's situation will continue, in my opinion, to sort of be what it is and go down that slippery slope. So all of those things are great. I like Treylon Burks as a player. I loved him coming out of Arkansas. I like the kid a lot. But they're going to have to build on that ability to do the thing that they did when they were so successful in that two-year stretch, which is intimidate the hell out of people with the running game and make that play action really work for them.
Justin Herbert gets a huge contract, becoming the highest paid quarterback in history, $262.5 million going his way. And I think we all know how this works. We see a guy sign and then immediately go, hey, good for him. All right, better for Joe Burrow, who I believe is going to be next. How do you see that working out with Joe Burrow in his next contract?
Well, before we even go there, let's just talk about one thing here. The best bargain in the NFL is the best player in the NFL, and that's Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes' contract now is a bargain of all bargains, and it's the most team-friendly deal out there, especially for a quarterback. And he seems completely okay with that, which is the most amazing thing. Like, no matter what he gets in his new deal, and he'll get some ridiculous number whenever that happens, and it'll be manipulated for the cap and all that kind of stuff. He has given the Chiefs every opportunity to have this sort of dynastic run by doing the things he's done since he signed that contract and not taking the most money possible. So the first thing that comes to my mind when any of these quarterbacks get the new highest paid player in football deal is just what a bargain Patrick Mahomes is. As for Joe Burrow, yeah, I mean, Joe's going to have to decide what he wants to do. You know, Joe is a guy who's also said he's all about winning and all that and all those things, and he was a big part of that at LSU, and he's the reason why the Bengals are the team they are. They've won as many playoff games with Joe as they had in their entire franchise history before he got there. So it's a big part of it. And I think Joe can break the bank if he wants, or Joe could try and go the Patrick Mahomes route with what he wants to do. It's going to be up to Joe, but there's not a dollar figure out there that isn't within reach for Joe Burrow if he wants that.
Talking with Trey Wingo and with Justin Herbert, you know, he's kind of he's interesting because there were so many people that, and I was one of them, that I didn't think he was going to be very good coming out of Oregon, and then he turns out to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's earned this deal, but there hasn't been a ton of success with the Chargers, and I don't put that on him. And so how much can that change with the coach and with the rest of the team around him to get him to that point where he can be successful?
Well, look, obviously the franchise in general, you know, the Chargers is where hope goes to die, right? If Tennessee's veteran receivers go to die, if you're a Chargers fan, you're basically just saying life is pain, and anybody that says anything else is selling you something. The great line from The Princess Bride. So it's a thing that's going on before Herbert got there, but they got to get it fixed. And I will say their coach needs to understand field goals are not terrible. Like, field goals are not poison. They're not the enemy. Every once in a while, it's okay to kick the three and take the points. I don't think that's something that he's got to get in his head and figure out that that's okay. Listen, if you're the Chargers, though, you look at the last four times they've played the Chiefs, and they've all been these just nail-biting games. And if those games turn around, then there's the potential that the Chargers would be winning that division. And, you know, all this other stuff would go the other way. So you just have to believe at some point the breaks that always seem to go against you, right? Every year it seems like the Chargers get just destroyed by injuries. And they just cannot find a way to beat Kansas City. And I don't know if they will this year, but you just have to believe that some of those things, the law of averages, would eventually have to play out, right? But we're talking about the Chargers, who one year, in 2009 or 2010, had the number one offense in the league statistically and the number one defense in the league and didn't make the playoffs that year, which is almost impossible. But that's sort of the way the things have gone for this organization forever.
Yeah, for sure. So it'll be interesting to see moving forward with Justin Herbert. The most intriguing team in the AFC is the Aaron Rodgers-led Jets. He takes a pay cut, a voluntary pay cut, to try and make room to do more and show his commitment over the course of the next couple of years. Ultimately, Trey, is this going to work, and will Aaron Rodgers bring the Lombardi Trophy to Broadway?
Well, there's a couple things there, right? First of all, and I've seen people that played that put this out there and said, well, man, look at this deal. The Jets are going to play their butts off for him because he gave up that money. That has never happened in the history of the NFL, okay? There's never been a guy in the middle of a locker room said, hey, man, this guy gave up $10 million. Let's play harder for him. That's the dumbest thing anyone can say. Let's just get that out of the way. Nobody cares. Is that money going to them? Then they would care. But no, you don't have to play harder because some guy gave up money. Number two, what an absolute you-know-what to the Packers, right? Aaron Rodgers squeezed every penny he could out of that organization. And fine, if you want to do that, he's earned the right. Back-to-back MVP seasons, he deserved it. Get all that money. But it cost the Packers Devontae Adams, and then it cost them Aaron Rodgers because that contract was unworkable. And then he gets there and becomes this benevolent financial benefactor that just throws money away. Like, that is the biggest whoop to the Packers organization I can imagine walking out the door. So those are some of my initial thoughts there. And the other part of it is if he doesn't win a Super Bowl, it wasn't worth it. Because we're talking about a team that hasn't been to a Super Bowl since they won Super Bowl III. We're playing Super Bowl for Football 58 this year. That's 55 years. This has to be Tom Brady to Tampa. This has to be Peyton Manning to Denver, or it isn't worth it. It isn't worth it. They've been to AFC Championship games with Mark Sanchez back-to-back years. This has to be get us to and win the Super Bowl. Otherwise, they have sort of mortgaged a lot to make this happen. And, you know, Zach Wilson, who knows what happens to him going forward after the Aaron Rodgers experiment comes to an end.
Yeah, and then on the other side of that, Green Bay, I read some things and, like, know some Packers fans, and I can't decide if they're really excited about Jordan Love or if they're just trying to convince themselves that, oh, this is going to work, even though deep down they know that it probably isn't.
Well, they're trying to do something that's never been done before, right? We've had transitions from one quarterback to another that's worked out really well. Steve Young, Joe Montana, right? That's worked out really, really well. Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, even though Andrew got hurt, but that worked out really, really well. So we've seen it happen once. You go from one great quarterback to another quarterback. I've never seen it happen twice, right? So what the Packers are hoping for is Favre to Rodgers, Rodgers to Love will be the same. And that's bucking history. Now, I will say this. I believe that Jordan Love is going to surprise a lot of people. I think he's going to play a lot better than people think. But I don't know if he's going to be Aaron Rodgers good, and I don't know how long that's going to take. But I do think the Packers are going to surprise some people with the way they play this year.
Going to be interesting for sure. Trey Wingo is with us. So what have you been up to these days? I know you've done podcasting and some sports betting stuff. Yeah. What has Trey been doing?
A little bit of this, a little bit of that. I work for the Pro Football Network, 33rd team. Did some work for Caesar Sportsbook, obviously. I just called the Open Championship or the British Open for NBC for two rounds Thursday and Friday. I've done some stuff with the PGA Tour. Mark Schlereth and I are launching a new show on a new app called The Stunt, THE STUNT, which is an all-sports app. Nothing but sports on there. You can create your own shows and everything you want to try and get, download that in your Apple store or your Google Play. Either place, keeping busy and can't wait for the season to get here.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's always great to talk to you. Thanks for the time, and we will definitely do it again soon.
You got it, man. Take care.
You too. Trey Wingo joining us here on the show. Always enjoy his insight on all things NFL and sports. We'll react to some of those things. Plus, I heard D-May say something yesterday that got my attention, and I want to bring that up. Coming up next, Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are changing the game. Help your bets stay hot this summer at Superbook Sports. They are the most trusted name in sports betting with a direct line to Las Vegas. Right now, when you use the promo code CHASE, you can score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, Superbook will match your first bet up to $250. Simply by using the promo code CHASE, C-H-A-S-E. That is my name. Download that Superbook Sports app, enter that promo code CHASE, and you'll get $250 courtesy of my friends at Superbook Sports. They have pro football, college football, all of the things. Just use my name, Chase, when you put the promo code in. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hey, The Game Summer Ticket Tour is headed to Homegrown Tap Room and Kitchen, located at 2720 Old Lebanon Road, this Friday afternoon from 2 to 6. Go see Jared. Come eat, drink, hang, and leave with a pair of free sounds, preds, Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, or concert tickets. We gave a ton away last week. You can also get signed up for the grand prize, Titans tickets, Preds tickets in the 501 Club, and a two-night stay at Opryland Hotel with access to Soundwaves. Black Tie Moving delivers The Game Summer Ticket Tour. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour. Appreciate Trey Wingo for joining us in the last segment. Always enjoy those conversations with him. And again, if you miss anything on today's show or any of our shows, you can go to thegamenashville.com, our podcast section. You can also subscribe to each show's podcast. Search for Chase McCabe wherever you get your podcasts. I heard this conversation between Junie Riddle and D-Mace yesterday when it comes to wide receivers and the addition of DeAndre Hopkins. And basically the premise of it was that, you know, Derek was worried about, you bring D-Hop in, what does that do for the younger receivers, taking opportunities away, you know, trying to build what you got. And so that came up, and here was Derek in his comments on DeAndre Hopkins and adding him to the receiver room.
My problem has never been whether D-Hop can catch the football or not.
Yeah.
You know, I've been on record to say, listen, this guy is probably, he's the best catcher of the football since Larry Fitzgerald and Chris Carter. There are a lot of guys that can catch the football, but what he's able to do, and some of these younger guys too, Chase and Jefferson and T. Higgins, guys like that, and Devontae Adams. But when you're talking about strictly just a catcher of the football, I don't think there's no better one than Hop. But I would have loved to see these younger guys, you know, get an opportunity to step up into a role that is meant for them, whatever role that is.
Yeah.
Now, they're still going to get their opportunities, but it's not going to be as many, because once we get to the first 2 weeks of camp, now we're starting to concentrate on our guys, the guys that we know are going to be on this team. So we're going to continue to work with them more and more and more. And, you know, these young guys got to show early on that they're keeping up with the train, because if you ain't keeping up with the train, you're going to get left behind. So I think that way because I was in that situation. So I'm a little bit more sensitive than everybody else.
Yeah.
Because I've been that third, fourth, fifth receiver and working my way up and then bringing in veteran guys and not truly giving me an opportunity to go out there and play. Because sometimes, more times than not, it's opportunities that guys get or don't get that allows them to play in this league for, you know, periods of time or for, you know, whatever time, say 5-6 years. It's the opportunities that you get at whatever position. And if you make do on that opportunity, then you're going to last in this league.
That was Derek Mason yesterday with Junie Riddle. The band is back together today, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, coming up in just a few minutes. And I understand what Derek's saying. Like, I, you know, because I've said it before that they would bring in guys like Carl Pickens and, you know, they had signed Yancey Thigpen, and I feel like there was another one too. And Derek was basically relegated to special teams. And then when he got his opportunity, you know, really got his opportunity when Kevin Dyson got hurt, everybody goes, oh, okay, we got our guy. And then it became the D-May show. But Derek showed you a lot on special teams. And I remember, you know, when he would get opportunities seeing it, that it's like, okay, I feel like this guy can, you know, be a productive receiver, you know, when he gets his chance. There's nobody behind Burks and DeAndre Hopkins that I see on this Titans team that gives me that same feeling right now. That can change, but, you know, before they got Hopkins, I mean, we were sitting here having the conversation of it's Treylon Burks and hope that Kyle Phillips can, you know, show us, you know, some of the flashes that he had last year, can build on that and actually be something decent. And then everybody else, it's like, I don't know. So that's where I think the difference is. And again, I understand what he's saying, that you want to make sure, you want to get the most out of everybody. But I think having Hopkins in here is actually going to help that. So I you know, like I said, Derek is, he's one of the best. He's the best receiver the Titans have ever had. AJ Brown, you know, probably would have taken that title from him had he stuck around. But you know, D-Mace, the impact he made for this team goes without saying. But I think that these young guys are still going to get their opportunity, and adding DeAndre Hopkins is only going to help that. So enjoyed that conversation yesterday, and Junie did a great job filling in as well on the midday show. Before we get out of here, I have to play this because I was laughing my you-know-what off when I saw it. As Joey Votto, first baseman for the Cincinnati Reds, who is Mr. Personality, went on with Chris Mad Dog Russo and did an interview with him and absolutely gave it to him because of comments that Russo had made a few months ago, basically saying that Votto was in the Hall of Very Good. Check this out. This was hilarious.
A couple of months ago, you said that Zach Greinke and I are Hall of Very Good ballplayers. I think Zach and I would agree. You may be right. But I get the gist of what's going on here. I know what you're doing. You're looking down on us. A couple small market Midwest ball players, just because we're not big city, just like you. Mr. New York City, Sirius XM radio star, Mr. National Television, ESPN star, with your Fifth Avenue ties and your crisp pocket squares, your tailored suits and your polished shoes, and your hair, your perfectly coiffed Broadway hair. Must be nice to sit atop that Madison Avenue ivory tower, looking down on us with those luscious locks. Not everyone can be the next Roger Peckinpah, Mad Dog. You should be ashamed of yourself. You're a disgrace.
That was Joey Votto with Mad Dog Russo. And oh my goodness, that was, it's gone viral and it should. And I love it. He's like, you know, we might agree with you. I think Greinke and Votto have a case for sure for Cooperstown. But that was fantastic. It made me laugh, and I hope it did the same for you. That is going to do it for us today. Have a great rest of your Thursday, but don't go anywhere. Caroline's back. Willie's back. The crew is together. They are up next, talking Titans and training camp here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.